And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, spanning south of Birmingham to north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. Solid conservative and just plain right. Man, the phone's burned up. And I you know, it's a heck of a thing when you say the first three, but then you have like 19 calls. So what do you do with that? But let me just grab them. Our top three winners for the first round of T-shirts for this show right now. Line one, David from Athens. David, are you a Right Side Ruffian?
Yes, sir, I am.
Hey, man, appreciate you. We got a T-shirt coming your way. I think you already gave your information over to Boomer, didn't you?
I did. I appreciate you guys.
Well, thanks, bud. We appreciate it. We can't do it without you. You have a great day, sir. All right, let me jump over to line two, Tony from Russellville. Tony, how you doing today?
I'm great. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Are you a Right Side Ruffian?
I am.
Outstanding. And over there in Russellville, you guys got a great audience. We've had several folks call in from over there, but thanks for what you do. Thanks for being a part of the audience. We got a T-shirt coming your way, all right?
Well, thank you, and thank you for what you do.
Thank you, sir. All right, and then number three winner for the first round of T-shirts, Clay from Huntsville. Clay, how you doing today?
Great. How are you, sir?
I'm good. You a Right Side Ruffian?
Yes, sir.
Well, good enough. We got a and a Bama fan too, apparently. All right. So Right Side Ruffian and RTR. All right, there we go. Clay, thanks for being a part of the audience, man. We appreciate you. Have a great weekend. Good luck to your Tide, and we got a T-shirt coming your way. All right.
Yes, sir. Thank you. You as well.
All right. Take care. That's just good stuff. Boomer, I know your phones have still been ringing. Just answer them and love on them and tell them we'll do it again next hour. But listen, that's folks, I'm going to be honest with you, and I say this all sincerity. The show is not something I even saw coming. God just opened this door, and bam, here we are. But it does not work if y'all aren't there, and that's just the case. I mean, and I know that, and I do not take it for granted. Boomer and I talk about that kind of thing all the time. What an amazing audience we have. The fact that you guys are like dialed into the issues. We get great calls, good content. We got some regular callers, and then we got the one-off first-time callers. And I'm just going to tell you, this show only works because of the people that listen on the other end of the microphone. You got a speaker, I got a mic, but the speaker makes the difference. If it's not coming out your speaker, it doesn't work. So anyway, thank you for what you do. And for being a part of the show. All right, T-shirts coming their way. We'll do that again in about an hour. Let me just start moving into my triple dipper for the day. All right, listen, education in Alabama is not in a good place. And I, you know, it's not a little dour, but heck, when you're last in the nation, it's kind of hard to be super encouraged. Now, I'll caveat by saying I can't stand the teachers union. You know, the teachers union is one of the worst things that ever happened to education, just to be honest. Teachers themselves, the rank and file, that's the bread and butter. That's what we got. We got to make sure that we thank them for what they do, and we can still oppose the teachers union and what it stands for. That being said, we have got to find the formula. We have got to crack the code. We have got to get the ingredients to the secret sauce on what it takes to get education in Alabama up out of the dumps. And if you look at it, it ain't money. Do not come to me with the argument, we don't fund education enough. Bull crap. We fund it all the time. We upfund it every year. Teachers got raises the last several years in a row. The education budget is at its highest level ever in the history of Alabama. And, oh, by the way, it has increased for the last 10 years. And, by the way, since Republicans took the majority in the State House, you have not seen a prorated, that means a unbalanced budget in education in Alabama in well over a decade. All that to say, it's not what we're spending, it's how we're spending it. We are looking right now at the fact that we are last in the nation, and yet there are multiple other states that spend less per child in education than we do, and they rank higher than us in the education rankings. It's not because we're a poor state, because look at Mississippi. They're right next to us, and they rank higher, and they spend less, and they do more. It's not because, you know, there's too much turmoil in the inner cities. We have great metropolitan areas. Do we have some that have troubles? Yes. Birmingham, Montgomery, especially. But when you look at the fact that we have great school systems around this state doing what they can, and yet our numbers consistently remain low, you have to go, okay, public school system, you got to do something different. I'm going to tell you right now, I will always be an advocate for school choice. I was when I was in the legislature, in the state Senate. I was proud to stand beside State Senator Del Marsh the night that he dropped the Alabama Accountability Act bill, and it was one of the best nights of my 8 years in the state Senate. Awesome. And the Democrats and the AEA were having a complete come apart. I mean, literally having a come apart. But we got that thing passed. But since that time, the idea of school choice has been largely on the back burner. And yet I think it's probably what has to happen. It's a philosophical thing. Do you believe, and here's the deal, if someone says to you, well, school choice is going to tear apart public education. No, it won't. Go to all the states that have school choice and tell me how their school systems fell apart. They didn't. They didn't. Show me the evidence that it has ripped apart public education. Oh, that's right, you can't. Go to Florida, where they have had school choice in place for much longer than we have in Alabama, and they raised their numbers out of the pits. Go look at states like Arizona that just said, hey, you know what? We're all in. Education savings accounts, vouchers for every kid to go to school wherever you want to go. And guess what? The state did not implode. All that to say, here's the deal. The philosophical point that I would make, if someone says to you, it's going to tear apart public education, you need to say this. Here's your response. What do you believe? Do you believe that our tax dollars are there to feed a system, or are the tax dollars there to educate a child? Because if you believe they're there to educate a child, then you have to believe that the parents should have some choice in that, because what's best for the child is what the dollars are for. If you believe just the opposite, that it's about making sure the system's intact, it's about making sure that we have funded the system for facilities and other things, and that's the most important. We've got to build the infrastructure. If that's your mantra, then you're putting kids second. But okay, that's your mantra. And that's very often where we find the teachers union. Now listen, there are some things happening right now in Alabama schools that I got to talk about. And then when I get down towards the end of this segment, I gotta tell you, man, I have been blown out of the water by some just cool stuff that's happening with innovative opportunities for education right here in the state of Alabama. Did you know that we had a very cool school in Birmingham that was on national news just a week ago? I didn't know that till I was getting ready for today's segment. It retooled my whole segment today, and it drove me to do some things differently than what I had planned on. I look at these folks in Birmingham, I'm like, man, more power to you. Get her done. Because that's education outside the box. That's kids that are not only being given a life education, they're being given a lifestyle. It's not only given them something to learn, but it's given them a reason to live. That's just cool stuff. I've got another one in Huntsville that I'll talk about here in a little bit. But in the meantime, do know this. Your state school board's been meeting. Oh, yeah. And Governor Ivey actually presided over the meeting yesterday. So story on 1819 News dated today's date. Here's the kind of things that we're dealing about in public education. And by the way, it's a shame that we have to even have this discussion. 1819 News, Craig Monger, one of the reporters who's been on this show several times. Headline, Alabama Board of Education votes to allow disciplinary action against teachers who gave age-inappropriate instruction on gender identity and sexual orientation. At a time when we're ranked lowest in the nation, we still have to deal with this stuff. I mean, you got to. You got to. You can't let the environment degrade to the point that the learning is secondary to the social justice initiatives that are being put out there. But Craig writes, the Alabama Board of Education voted on Thursday to adopt rules prohibiting the discussion of sexual orientation and gender identity in specific classrooms. The meeting was presided over by Governor Ivey. All the other members of the BOE were present as well. And the board issued a rule related to legislation passed in April. So we passed, you know, Florida got all the don't say gay, you know, negative press and Disney coming out against the state of Alabama, you know, the state of Florida. I got news, the state of Alabama has been on the forefront of this stuff. I guess people have come to expect it from Alabama. We're just going to be there. We're there. But in April of this year, the state of Alabama passed legislation in conjunction, I think it was an amendment to the Vulnerable Child Compassion and Care Act that prevents transgender therapies on minors. I believe it was. I think State Senator Shea Shelnut, a friend of mine from Blount County and serves in St. Clair also, he dropped an amendment on the bill that literally says you cannot discuss sexual orientation and gender identity in classrooms. Here's what the school board came up with. An individual or group of individuals providing classroom instruction to students in kindergarten through fifth grade, K through five, in a public K-12 school shall not engage in classroom discussion or provide classroom instruction regarding sexual orientation or gender identity in a manner that is not age-appropriate or developmentally appropriate for students in accordance with state standards. The new rules they came up with yesterday allow for disciplinary action. Any teacher who violates this could be subject to termination, license revocation, being placed on leave, or not having their teaching contract renewed. Teachers who receive such disciplinary action must be reported to the state superintendent of education. Believe it or not, that rule was opposed by a number of educators who came to speak out against it. Now, it wasn't a mass. I'm not trying to say they turned out in droves. One lady named Dana Pig, who teaches in Tuscaloosa, another one named Rachel Mobley, doesn't say where she teaches, but they came and spoke out against it, saying that you're criminalizing robust discussion. Well, no, we're criminalizing teaching kids that boys are not boys. Don't go confusing our kindergartners. I mean, Boomer, you got Pax's, like, I'm sorry, I've been saying his name. Anyway, your son's in, what, kindergarten right now, right?
That's right.
Yep, and my little grandson's in pre-K.
Wow.
I don't want to hear them coming home from school saying, am I a girl? No. Don't teach our kids this stuff. Don't confuse them. And as much as I disagree with that lifestyle being foisted upon children, if that's a home thing, if anything.
Correct. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Board of Education, yesterday, here we are last in the nation, but they've got to deal with that because it's happening as we speak.
That's absurd. Why that's even being discussed. I mean, like you said, it should be, if anything, in the home.
If anything at all. But, I mean, to just tell you why, story off of AL.com, dated yesterday on the same topic. Alabama Board of Education voted Thursday to adopt slight changes to the state's recent law to prohibit the discussion of sexual orientation. This school year, an Alabama teacher said she had to take down her pride flag that was hanging in her classroom because parents raised concerns. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't get it. What's your problem? What's your beef? Why was your pride flag hanging in your classroom in the first place?
Exactly.
You can hang that in your household and talk about it at your house and, you know, march in your gay pride parade in your off time, but you're in the classroom. That's not a place where you go and hang out there and do your thing and try to teach your social justice.
Right. Absolutely.
All right. Ugh. All right. Listen, there's that. That was yesterday, state school board meeting. Governor Ivey presiding, and they did agree to move forward with the penalties that are now required under law in the event that a teacher K through five in Alabama decides that they want to teach gender identity to kindergartners. Okay. Well, I'm glad they did, and I'm glad we're that state that's taking a stand. But there's more going on. Like, how about this? They did actually address high school graduation requirements. We'll go to a break right now. I'll come back from that break. I'll tell you what's happening with high school graduation requirements. Have we made any gains in recent years? Are we doing anything right? There's some growth. Some. There sure is. And then what are we doing about safe schools? And then I'm going to get out the box, man, and I'm going to blow your minds with two schools, one in Birmingham, one in Huntsville, that are making waves by being educators outside the box. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Man, I'm just telling you, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, we got a call. Is that Jeff? Jeff from Indiana. Jeff Rowe, how you doing today, man?
Doing great, Phil.
Good. What's on your mind?
Hey, school systems are not going to get any better until the government owns absolutely zero buildings. The public should own no school buildings. And I'm serious. I mean, it should work about like the public highway system. The government doesn't build highways. The government pays other people to build highways. Can you imagine what it'd be like if the government did build highways?
We'd be having a lot of dirt roads and potholes.
Yeah, it's bad enough when you I hate to say this, but when you pass, you know, the county or the state, you know, working on the road and everything, and you see one guy working and 10 guys standing around there watching him, you know. So
yeah, exactly.
That's pretty much how it would work if they built the roads.
So. Getting paid union wages to be a flag man. Exactly. You've probably seen a few.
But that's what it's going to boil down to. We need to treat the public schools, K-12 education, just like you would a private college. You know, you pay the money, and the government should, you know, fund its students according to, you know, the area and stuff and what, you know, the going rate. And then these schools should compete for those dollars because we have zero competition right now competing for those dollars. And that's why the teachers' unions have so much power, is because it's basically they're working with the government. But if they was working with a private enterprise, they would not be very powerful.
I've said several times if they would let the free market of school choice, the free market principles of school choice come into play, schools would have to up their game simply because somebody else is going to build a better mousetrap and they're going to wind up losing out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Without, there's no competition in the public school.
Yeah.
So the county or the state or city should have a school board and set the criteria and what they want to teach and everything. And then, you know, when you get these woke teachers in these places and stuff, and the parents say, hey, you know, get this person out of there, it's going to be done immediately instead of saying, oh, well, we got to look at the union. We can't get rid of these people for, you know, this, that, or they got tenure or something, you know. No, the people of this nation would be a lot more educated, and I think there would actually probably be a lot less Democrats if they actually got an education.
All right, Jeff, I got somebody else on the line. Let me run grab it real quick. You have a great weekend, my brother. All right, line two, is that Sparky? Yeah, Sparky from Harvest. How you doing, man?
Hey, happy Friday, Phil and Boomer.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm genuinely curious about something because I understand organization, I understand communication networks, and I'm genuinely stymied at how modern educators all around the United States, without any evidence of master orders or overarching manifestos being issued to them, how they all seem to be pushing the exact same agenda as far as gay, transgender wonderfulness, celebration of gender fluidity, having cross-dressing drag queens, you know, dance for little tiny children. They're on the same sheet of music is what I'm saying. Where in the world are these marching orders coming from, and how is it being communicated? It can't be social media, or is it inside the university?
I tell you one place it's happened. An organization called the Anti-Defamation League, which started out ostensibly to help prevent violence and oppression and racism against the Jewish communities. They have totally twisted their messaging now, and Anti-Defamation League has a curriculum called No Place for Hate for training teachers. Part of the training of it teaches teachers how to help kids with their gender fluidity, and that's been found to be in schools all over the nation because they get it in there the back door. You don't see it because it's not a book in front of your kids. It's a book in front of your teachers. Huntsville City Schools uses it. Mountain Brook had it, but Mountain Brook parents threw a fit and got it run out of there. But that same curriculum is everywhere. Hey, man, we're up against the break. I hear the music playing already. Sparky, you have a great weekend if we don't talk to you. Take care.
You too.
All right, I got more on schools. Those were great calls. I got more on schools. I got good stuff coming, too. Don't worry. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, the local, the state, the national, we cover down on all the ground. I'm just telling you, solid conservative, just plain right. Hour number two. How's it hour number two? That's
Man,
just crazy.
Flew by.
You're moving the clock again, aren't you?
When you turn around.
We were sitting here talking Auburn and Alabama football and what's going to happen and Jimbo Fisher and Million Dollar Band and what time's the game.
All kinds of stuff.
And next thing I know, and he looks at me and goes, you know you're on. Oh, crap. So anyway, grab the mic. Got to do a show.
We need a big flashing red light.
We get paid to have fun, I'm telling you. Listen, I am in number one of the Triple Dipper, education outside the box. So let me finish up talking about some things that are happening within Alabama's education system, because this is all fresh, man. This is like literally fresh cuts, all right? So I told you a minute ago, the state school board met yesterday. They are dealing with the issue of whether or not K through 5, what the penalties would be if a teacher violates the new laws that say you cannot teach gender fluidity, gender identity, LGBTQ lifestyles, and over-sexualized K through 5 classrooms. Shame you have to have that conversation, but I'm glad they are. The next thing, though, is they began to actually deal with academics. Story on AL.com. AL.com dated yesterday. Governor Kay Ivey and school board support a change to Alabama high school graduation requirements. Now, I will not portray myself as knowing everything about what I'm about to go over with you, all right? If I understand this correctly, we have added some indicators, they're calling them, or milestones that have to be achieved in order for a student to show that they are ready to complete high school. So the State Board of Education voted 6-3 to require that high school seniors starting in the year 2028, so we got... Okay, we're going to wait 6 years to implement this. Be able to check at least one box to indicate that they are ready for college or career upon graduation. Currently, students simply have to complete 24 credits. The vote starts the clock ticking on the 45-day public comment period. In other words, the public can now make comment for the next 45 minutes. Send your comments in. If you talk to your board members, Wayne Reynolds is in Huntsville. We got Stephanie Bell and others. The board could vote as early as November to make the change permanent. Governor Ivey said she agrees with the proposed change and hopes new requirements will address gaps in the graduation rate. So here's the thing. Last couple of years, Alabama's graduation rate was around 92%, but the college and career readiness rate was 76%. Governor Ivey points out that's not acceptable. She says we have to prepare Alabama students and workers for the jobs of tomorrow. All right. State Superintendent Eric Mackey said it will be up to students and schools to pursue earning one of the indicators prior to graduation. There were a few board members who voted no on this, but here's the bottom line. The measures of college or career readiness that are being proposed to indicate that a student has completed high school are a benchmark score on the ACT. I'm not sure what that benchmark score is, but there will be a benchmark score on the ACT or a qualifying score on the advanced placement or AP exam, or a qualifying score on an international baccalaureate exam. I think we need to be careful with some of the internationals. Earning college credit while in high school. In other words, if you are capable of earning college credit in some form, and I'm sure there'll be standards. I hope there'll be standards. While you're in high school is an indicator that you are already learning at post-high school levels. A qualifying score on the ACT Work Keys test. A qualifying in-school youth apprenticeship or high career tech credential, meaning if you went out and got your credentialed as a, I'm guessing here, but let's say you're a licensed or certified welder, or you get your CDL and you can drive a truck. These things are indicating that you're ready for the career fields. Acceptance into a branch of the military prior to graduation. Attaining career and technical education completer status. And Mackey said, Alabama's diploma lacks standardization, and since we dropped the high school graduation exam in 2014. I agree. They got to make the diploma mean something. It's so important. We've got to get our gains in place, and we got to make basically, if you're graduating, if we're having a 92% graduation rate, but only 76% of those are college and career ready according to standards, we are missing something here. That's a big point spread. All right, so they're putting these things in place. And those of you that are education mavens that feel like you want to comment on that, you have 45 days from yesterday to get those comments to your school superintendents or to your school board members. All right. But what else is happening in Alabama education? Story dated yesterday also from AL.com. Alabama notches slight gains, and I even circled the word slight gains right there in the camera. Circled the word slight gains on state reading, math scores. We are on the right trajectory. Okay, let me caveat that by saying that Biden is seeing an increase in his polling numbers. They're still abysmal. We're seeing an increase in our education numbers, but they're still abysmal. However, I'll take a gain over a loss any day in this category. Alabama students continue to improve on state test scores since the pandemic, according to results from spring 2022 testing released Thursday. However, a wide range in reading and math scores indicate long-running trouble spots in closing the achievement gaps. So here's the thing. In 2022, this year, 47% of all tested students reached proficiency in English language. In other words, we only have 47% of our students on the average proficient in English. 37% in science, 27% in math. This is nothing to celebrate. That's an increase of 2% from last year in English, an increase of 2% from last year in science, an increase in 5% from last year in math. So we were at 22% in 2021 in overall math proficiency. We're at 27% now. Better? Yes. Does it still suck? Yes. The percentage of students reaching benchmark scores on the ACT went up too, from 30% in 2021 to 31% in 2020. We gained a 1-point spread in the ACT. Listen, y'all, this is horrible. And here's an idea of where some of the spreads are. And you may look at this and go, well, Mountain Brook's very affluent. They got so many things going for them. Oh, they do. They do. But I got to be honest. You can live in a dirt floor shack and you can still sweep the floor. What I'm saying is money is not everything. There is a cultural issue. There is a family issue. There are some monetary issues, but there are also a lack of standardization issues. And here's the thing. In English, the percentage of students on grade level ranged from 16% in Perry County to 84% in Mountain Brook. Mountain Brook was the highest school system in every category. In math, proficiency levels range from 2% in Sumter County to 77% in Mountain Brook. In science, Sumter County again, with 4%, Mountain Brook at 81%. That's a huge spread, y'all. That's a huge, huge spread. And so basically what they're saying is in Sumter County, they have almost 0% math proficiency. That's horrible. I recognize that Sumter County may be lacking in terms of, you know, certain financial assets or the ability of people to have an upward mobility or a sense of achievement. Start instilling it, please. And let's make sure they're not just trapped in a failing school with no other options. How about that? And then lastly, I'll say this before I move to the break, and then I'm going to come back and start giving you the good news. The good news. There is good news in education, and we got some. Lastly, I'll point out, too, that school safety has been a huge deal. I've not seen a lot in Alabama on this topic. Other states, after the Uvalde school shootings, have been dealing with this post-haste. A little bit of knee-jerk, I will say. You got to watch the knee-jerk spending of funds and trying to grab hold of the winds of, you know, sentiment. But I will say this, in Arkansas last month, this story dated, that's AL Daily News, I'm sorry, AL Daily News, storyline dated September 7th, so that would be, 2 days ago. Arkansas, last month, lawmakers set aside $50 million for a school safety fund. They have not established how they will distribute it yet, but they set it aside to begin doing so. Texas, Governor Greg Abbott and other Republican leaders set aside $105 million. Half of that was slated for bullet-resistant shields for school police, $17 million for districts to purchase panic alert technology. Ohio, $100 million for school security. Brian Kemp in Georgia, Governor of Georgia, $2.6 million to increase training capacity in classes for SROs. In New Jersey, Democrat Governor Phil Murphy signed legislation requiring the state's 600 school districts to set up assessment teams aimed at stemming violence in schools. Yeah, okay. In other words, we're going to talk about it in New Jersey. All I'm saying is this. One of the things they were dealing with in the last year is the, you know, coming to grips with school safety. All right, listen. I'm going to come back from this. Here we are. We got abysmal numbers. We're dealing with wokeness in schools. And our school boards are having to deal with making sure they have safety plans in place. But, folks, as I go to the break, let me just tell you, there are some amazing things happening in some places in education. Boomer, go ahead and take us to the break, man. But there are some amazing things happening in education. And there are some amazing things happening in the realm of school choice in education. And when we get back, I got to tell you two stories that just blow my socks off. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. I mean solid conservative, and I mean just plain right. That's it. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, listen, I gave you some of the dourness, you know, about, is dourness a word? Did I just make that up? It's being dour. Can you have dourness? Anyway, the bottom line is, you know what I mean? I kind of went down the dark road of the fact that Alabama education system, the public education system, is struggling. The numbers are still in the tank, and we've got to get them up. Got to. And we have so much we're having to deal with in the middle of all of it. Wokeness in the schools, public school teachers who don't seem to understand that you can't hang a gay pride flag in the classroom, and that's just not okay. You've got the numbers are creeping up, but we're still at, you know, in the 20s on math comprehension or literacy. I mean, my word. But there's a couple of schools that got my attention. So I came into this segment this morning as I was doing my resourcing for the show. And I'm doing the whole, and I'm like, man, this, and oh, man, look at that. And then I came across something that I went, wow, look at that. So two schools, one of them, when I saw the one in Birmingham, it reminded me of one that I know of personally in Huntsville. Let me name the two schools. One is called Birmingham's Build Up Community School. The other one is Lincoln Village in Lincoln Village School in Huntsville. These two schools, they're private schools, but they're outside the box and they're doing amazing things. They're literally changing their communities. Boomer, you got that audio clip of the two guys on Fox News? You good on that? So here's the thing. Part of what caught my attention was I had no idea. I'm looking at it, and there's a story on FoxNews.com about a new Alabama school, and they're interviewing with Steve Ducey on Fox, and I'm like, who are these people? This is just from last week. So I tell you what, let's do this. Go ahead and play that audio clip. It lasts about a minute and a half. Go ahead and play that audio clip right now.
A school in Alabama is not only teaching the basics, but setting students up for financial success. Build Up Community School is a six-year program. At the conclusion, graduates will earn a high school diploma and an associate degree with a chance at, get this, ownership. James Sutton and Anthony Beckett join us right now from Birmingham, Alabama, and the Build Up Community School. Guys, good morning to you.
Good morning.
James, let's start with you. What's the idea behind Build Up?
Well, Build Up is really a gem in the Birmingham community. It's a private school that we're in our fifth year, and we're really kind of a first-of-a-kind school that combines workforce education and development with a high school diploma. We're setting students up to become credentialed and licensed in a high demand, high paying career field. And one of the beautiful things about our school is over the course of 6 years, once they complete our program, they get the chance and they become eligible to earn a zero interest home loan, and they can become homeowners through our school.
Oh, that's fantastic. And Anthony, is the home they can get the home that they build while they're there?
Yes, so it's a variety of homes throughout the Titusville and Inslee area here in Birmingham that actually our nonprofit sector of our school acquires, and then the students are actually able to go out and apply the skills and the strategies that they learn from our construction lab here within those homes to renovate, and then eventually after the 6 years, most of those homes end up in the hands of the students.
Well, that's fantastic. You know, James, this is such
a... Go ahead and stop it there, bud. Yeah, that's an amazing... I mean, I watched that and I was like, wait a minute, this is familiar. And it dawned on me, I know the guy, I met the guy, actually, who founded this. It just struck me as something that was so worthy of bringing on. There are good things happening outside the box. And Boomer, I have to hold these calls till after the break, man. But I have to hold them. I have to look at this and go, that is just cool. There's another one in Huntsville, and if I can try to get it in here before we get to the break, Lincoln Village. So here's the thing, Lincoln Elementary School. And I got a story from AL.com back in 2010. Lincoln Elementary School, just about a mile and a half away from downtown. It was in an area of town that was filled with crime and poverty, and the numbers were low. But then they became the model school. People all over the state were taking notice because suddenly Lincoln Elementary School, despite everything going wrong in that part of town, despite every disadvantage a kid could have, their kids were coming into 79th percentile in math on the Stanford Achievement Test. They were well above national averages. You know why? Because a group called Lincoln Village Ministries got involved, and they decided to sort of take on that school. And they put tutors in the school, and they had adult mentors, and they were there every single day making a difference in kids' lives. And because parents may have had struggles with trying to go on the school field trips, they would have these proxy who would come in, and they would go on the school field trips with kids. And they had science labs. And at 79th percentile, making the best scores in the entire Huntsville City School System in 2010, the Huntsville City Schools decided they had to close the school down anyway. It was an old building built in 1920s. And so they shut down the best performing school. Well, guess what? 2 years later, Lincoln Ministries became Lincoln Village Ministries and bought the school. I toured it not long ago. They are literally rehabbing houses, sort of like a Habitat for Humanity type thing, all around the school itself. Literally, you can walk out the back door of the school and see freshly redone small homes that used to be factory houses back in the day. And now families live in those whose kids walk out the door and skip across the street to school. And they're still ranking high. It's a private school now. But Lincoln Village Ministries, Build Up Community School in Birmingham, Lincoln Village in Huntsville, they are not just teaching kids. They're bringing them up for life. And I saw these two and I thought, that is just way cool. Way cool. Well, listen, we're going to be right back after this break. I'll tell you what, I'm going to take the next three callers, 833-68-RIGHT, 833-687-4448. The next three you call in, say you're a Right Side Ruffian. We got T-shirts. Start calling now. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right. You know how I know? Because we have T-shirts that say it, and I'm giving some away right now. I got some folks that say they're Right Side Ruffians. Line one, Chris from Elkmont. Chris, are you indeed a Right Side Ruffian?
Yes, sir, indeed I am. And more than that, my 77-year-old mother is probably one of your biggest fans.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I tell you what, we need to, we already got your shirt size. Give me one more shirt size for your mom. We're going to send you two so you can give one to mom, all right?
A little bit bigger than me would be fine.
Okay.
That would be
then,
great.
All right. Then, Boomer, do one shirt size. You got it? All right. Good deal. Chris, thanks so much, man. Tell mom I said, hey.
Thank you so much, and I will.
All right. Take care. Line two. Is that Brian? Brian from Huntsville. Brian, how are you doing?
Mighty fine, sir. Mighty fine. And I want to say thank you very much for having Lincoln Ministries on there. And that was one of the most refreshing things I've heard in a long time.
Well,
I enjoyed it.
That is good stuff. And Brian, I know indeed you are a Right Side Ruffian. Am I correct?
Indubitably.
All right, man. We got one coming your way. Appreciate you. Have a great weekend, Brian. Line three. Is that Allie? Allie from Athens. How are you doing?
Oh, I am just ready to blow it up with joy, my friend.
Well, you are a Right Side Ruffian. I know that for a fact.
Yes, sir. And if I may just say this, if you want the guidebooks as to how to truly revolutionize education and replicate Lincoln Ministries, Lincoln School kinds of things, you've got to get the works of the late, great John Taylor Gatto, G-A-T-T-O. I heard the man speak at a homeschool conference in 1991, and he absolutely blew the lid off of the icky backstories about mandatory education that you've been so faithfully exposing. But he was the first one that I ever heard talk about the free market solution. And
yeah.
So, like any other problem, it is community involvement and free market. That's it.
Yeah, good stuff. Allie, as always, appreciate you. You have a great weekend, my friend.
You too, sir. Thank you.
All right, thank you. John Taylor Gatto, I got to check that out. Well, she's right. That free market solution, that ability to have some competition, so to speak, an alternative, like, oh, by the way, there might be a better way of doing things. What an amazing idea. And I'm so glad to hear both Brian and Allie mention Lincoln Village. And I got to be honest with you. When I went to Lincoln Village for a tour, and I bet it's been, I said recently, it's actually probably been a couple years. I went up there looking to see something different, something outside the box. And I got there, and I was just blown away when I realized that the guy who started it is somebody who had been somewhat instrumental in my life early on. Some of y'all know that as a kid, I graduated from Grissom High School. We came back from England, and I went to Grissom to finish out. I got involved in a ministry called Young Life. Young Life changed my life. I wound up becoming a Young Life leader and then went on Young Life staff for a number of years, spent 7 years on full-time staff with Young Life, and just still one of the best jobs I ever had. But being in full-time ministry was cool. Working with Young Life was cool. But there was a guy named Mark Stearns who was one of the early, you know, leaders in Young Life Huntsville who was there doing the thing when I was just coming up as a volunteer being trained for the first time. And Mark Stearns, I can still remember riding in his car and him saying some things that kind of stuck with me about parenthood. Anyway, I go over to Lincoln Village, and there's Lakshmi, who is sort of touring me around, and Mark Stearns is the one who dreamed this thing up and prayed it up and is running it. I was blown away. But Lincoln Village, doing amazing things. Build Up Community Schools in Birmingham, doing amazing things. I'm just telling you, folks, there are good news stories in the education. And by the way, they're not all private schools, all right? I'm a big fan of Westbrook Christian School that was taken on by Big Oak Ranch years ago. My kids went there. My wife worked there. I used to teach a Bible class there. Boomer, you grew up there. Your mom worked there forever and a day. But there are great private schools doing great things around the state, but there are great public schools, and I know they are. You know why? Because I've seen them. My daughter-in-law was a public school educator in the Huntsville area. I know there are cool things happening in public schools. But we have got to get to a point where we are through saying status quo is okay. We have got to recognize it's not about the budget every time. It's about what you do with the budget you have. We have got to say the teachers' union should be marginalized and should not be considered to be a force in what matters in education. Let them do what they can to take care of their constituent members, I understand. But at some point, legislators have to stop looking to the teachers' union for guidance because they don't care about education. They care about getting the next dollar. We have got to also take an active role in our local schools. And the key example for me, again, is Mountain Brook. In Mountain Brook, the school system, by the way, that has the highest numbers in the public schools around the state, in Mountain Brook, they found out that that woke curriculum was being implemented to train teachers, which included things like gender fluidity and naming your pronouns. And, oh, by the way, don't tell the parents because it might create uncomfortable conversations. And 300 Mountain Brook parents showed up at the next school board meeting. And by God, they said, not in our schools. That's a community involvement. It takes parents who are willing to say, I saw that book in my child's hands, and I said, why is that going on? It takes parents who will say, I recognize that y'all are struggling with staffing, and I'm retired, but I'm an engineer from NASA. Can I come in and maybe help tutor some of your kids in math and science? Let me just tell you something. If we will do that, we will begin to see changes taking place. We will. And we will move from being last in the nation to better. And the goal, by the way, is not to just be second to last. The goal is not to just get to a point, please, let's get back to the point where we can say thank God for Mississippi. No, let's get to the point where we can say thank God for our teachers and our kids. That's where we've got to be. And we can't keep having the multi-billion dollar increases in our education budget without a result. What business in the world? What business? I was talking to one of the lawyers in my firm this morning, and we both agreed, what business in the world is allowed to fail on a regular basis and get more money every day? What business in the world is allowed to ask for raises and bonuses despite the constant failure? Name me one that truly can say every single year they get to come back and say, we're going to have some more money, need some more return on your investment. Yeah, but you've got 10 years of negative history. Yeah, but you know you want to fund us. It's going to be good. The investors would flee. The shareholders would be up in arms. The boardroom would have been changed out. The president would have lost his job. There would have been a change in policies and procedures. But in public education, failure begets failure, and it keeps on going. And we got to make that change. All right, that was a soliloquy that I did not plan. Every bit of that last little bit there was literally just coming from the heart, brother. All right, listen, I'm going to switch gears. I'm going to move to the next part of the Triple Dipper. We're going to give away more T-shirts later in the day. It is Fri-yay, and I'm glad of it. I'm going to the next topic, which I'm just going to go there, man. I titled this next topic, You Can't Fix Racism with Racism. Oh, yeah, he's doing it. He's going there. Let's go ahead and have that conversation. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Boomer, let's take a break about a minute and a half early. We'll do that right now. We'll come back, and I'll kick off the next segment right after the break. Y'all stay tuned. There's a whole lot more where that came from.